नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद्भागवतम् फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 9, द सुप्रीम कैरेक्टर ऑफ जारभारत, टेक्स्ट 20-19। Okay, it's a short verse in a prose form, short text in a prose form. Evam eva khalu mahad abhicharati kramya katsne natmane phalati. Okay, this one we can read together. Evam eva khalu महद अभिचारातिक्रमः क्षात्स्नेनात्मने फलति। Very good. Evam, evam eva, sorry. In this way, khalu, indeed, mahat, to great personalities, abhichara, in the form of envy, atikramaha, the limit of offense, kachnena, always, atmane, unto oneself, phalati, gives the result. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When an envious person commits an offense before a great personality, he is always punished in the way mentioned above. Please repeat after me. When an envious person commits an offense before a great personality, he is always punished in this way. Okay, he is always punished in the way mentioned above. Oh, this verse doesn't have any purport. Okay, so it's coming to the last verse of this chapter. The 20th verse is the last one, so we'll read through that one. This one is a long one, long text. Nava etad Vishnudatta mahadadbhutam jada sambhramaha sa shirash chedana apati tepi vimukta deha datma bhava Suddha drih, suddha hridaya granthi nam, sarva satta surhidatma nam, nirvairi nam, shakshad bhagavata nimishari varayudhena pramattena toistair bhavai parirakshamananam tat padamulam akutashchid bhayam apu bhayam amush amupa sritanam bhagavat bhagavat paramahamsanam. Sukadeva Goswami then said to Maharaj Parikshit, O Vishnu Duta, those who already know that the soul is supreme, soul is separate from the body, who are liberated from the invincible knot in the heart, who are always engaged in welfare activities for all living entities, and who never contemplate harming anyone, are always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who carries his disc, the Sudarshan Chakra, and acts as supreme time to kill the demons and protect his devotees. The devotees always take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, at all times, even if threatened by decapitation, they remain unagitated. For them, this is not at all wonderful. Please repeat after me. Sukadeva Goswami then said to Maharaj Parikshit, O Vishnu Datta, those who already know that the soul is separate from the body, who are liberated from the invincible knot in the heart, who are always engaged in welfare activities for all living entities, and who never contemplate harming anyone, are always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who carries his disc, Sudarshan Chakra, and act as supreme time to kill the demons and protect his devotees. The devotees always take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, at all times, even if threatened by decapitation, they remain unagitated. For them, this is not at all wonderful. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. These are some of the great qualities of a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First, a devotee is firmly convinced of his spiritual identity. He never identifies with the body. He is firmly convinced that the spirit soul is different from the body. Consequently, he fears nothing. Even though his life may be threatened, he is not at all afraid. He does not even treat an enemy like an enemy. Such are the qualifications of devotees. Devotees are always fully dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord is always eager to give them all protection in all circumstances. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Supreme Character of Jaro Bharat. So for last few chapters we are discussing about the episode of Jaro Bharat, episode of King Bharat actually. He was the ruler of the entire earth planet, and it is after him that this planet has been named as Bharatvarsha. Bharatvarsha is not just a land with some geographical boundary like that. Actually, Bharatvarsha is the name of the entire planet. The entire planet is known as Bharatvarsha. Previously, it was known as Ilabritavarsha. and then it became known as Bharatvarsha after Maharaj Bharat, because he ruled over the entire earth planet and he was an illustrious king. Therefore, the planet got the name after him. So we can see how exalted a personality he was. At some point he left his kingdom. He left everything behind. And he went to the forest. The way one goes to the forest is he wears tree bark. He didn't even go to the forest wearing regular clothes. That we see when Lord Ramchandra was going to the forest, he was wearing tree barks. And that's how he went to the forest. So we can understand Bharat Maharaj also left home. He was a king. He handed over the kingdom to his eldest son and he took off his clothes, dress, put on tree barks and left home. He did not take any money with me. He did not take any chawal dawal sabji with me. He did not take anything. Just went. And he went to the, he walked all the way to the Gandaki River, where Shaligram Shila appears, in high up in the Himalayan mountain. And there he was spending his time constantly thinking and worshipping and serving the Lord. But in spite of that, Bharat Maharaj became attached to a deer, baby deer. The baby deer's mother just died right after giving birth to the deer. And when the deer was being, actually that mother deer, pregnant mother deer, was on the bank of, close to the river Gandaki, and heard the roaring of a lion. And she became afraid and she jumped, tried to cross the river. And when she did that, she fell in the river and had a miscarriage, gave birth to this baby. And she died. And this baby deer was just being carried with the strong current of the river. And then Bharat Maharaj, who was on the bank of the river meditating upon the Lord, saw that this dear baby, just newborn baby, is being swept away with the strong current of the river. So Bharat Maharaj went and rescued that deer. And in course of tending that deer baby, Bharat Maharaj became so attached to this deer calf that he forgot his meditation on the Lord, service to the Lord and worshipping the Lord. All the time he was thinking about the deer. Oh, what happened? I didn't see this baby for such a long time. Did any fierce animal kill that deer? And then when he would see that the deer coming back, he would be so delighted. Oh, what a relief. He hasn't been killed by the lion or tiger. So in this way, Bharat Maharaj became so absorbed in the thoughts of the deer or attachment to the deer that Bharat Maharaj, at the time of leaving his body, he thought of the deer. And as one leaves his body, whatever the thought is, that becomes his next destination. Because he thought of the deer, in his next life he was born as a deer. But although he had a dear body, but he was a jati smar. He could remember his past life. He could remember his past life, and he realized what a big mistake he made. That in spite of living his kingdom, his family, his wealth, everything, he eventually got him attached to this deer. And he could see how strong Maya is. There is no way of knowing how Maya can attack. Just a little hole, just a little access, and Maya will get you. So Bharat Maharaj then, he learnt his lesson and he decided not to develop any attachment, even though he was in a body of a deer. So what he did, soon after his birth, he left his family, deer family. And he went to the Pulahashram on the bank of Gandaki. And there he started to spend his time in the next to the ashram of the sages. And when they would discuss about Krishna consciousness, Krishna katha, but he would, this as a deer, he would just sit there and listen to them. And he did not indulge in any comfort or luxury, even as a deer. He did not take soft green grass or juicy leaves. He would just take the dry leaves that has fallen out of the tree, and that is how we can see how careful he was. And then in his next life he is born as Jarabharat. He is born in a Brahmana family. This time he is born as a pure devotee. But although he was a pure devotee in this life, but he also was extremely careful. He was extremely careful. He didn't want to fall into the trap of Maya again. So from his childhood, he started to pretend as if he is deaf and dumb and devoid of any intelligence. Like a madman, deaf, he couldn't hear, he couldn't speak. Why? Because if he allowed himself to act in a normal way, then his family members will develop attachment to him and he'll also develop attachment to them. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Bengali, Adorero chile, shajonero kole, hashiya katanu khal. Adorero chile, a very fond child of the family. Shajonero kole, on the lap of the dear relatives. Hashiya katanu khal. Smilingly, joyfully, I spent my time. We spend our youth in this way. Children always receive affection from the other members of the family. So Bharat Maharaj didn't want to take any chance. From his childhood, he acted in such a way that nobody would develop any affection for him. Only his father was very affectionate. That's the natural affection of the father. So father tried to educate him because he was a brahmana. Tried to educate him. And tried to make him study Sanskrit and get diksha, Brahmin initiation. Because that's the process of purification. Janmana jayate shudra samskarat bhavati dvija. Janmana by birth, janmana jayate Sudra. By birth one is a Sudra. But samskarat bhavati dvija. By the process of purification he becomes a dvija or twice born. The second birth takes place through the initiation. Samskarat bhavati dvija. So it was necessary that the Brahmana boy, although born in a Brahmana family, he must be purified through the process of purificatory process of samskar. But Jarabhara didn't respond to that also. And then when his father and mother died, then his stepmother and stepbrothers started to maltreat him, mistreat him. They deprived him of the family inheritance. They didn't even give him proper food. And they made him work from morning till night. So Jarabhara happily did that. So that these are the characteristics that Parikshit Maharaj is telling to Sukadeva Goswami is telling to Parikshit Maharaj. That he is not in his body consciousness. So in whichever way his body is treated, he is not affected by that. And then one day he was asked to guard the field at night, to protect the field from the wild animals. Sometimes the wild animals come and destroy the crop, destroy the harvest. So Jarabhara was kept. He was in the field trying to drive away the animals when they came. And in the meantime, some dacoits were planning to sacrifice a human being to Goddess Kali. But the person they caught for that purpose, he ran away. So at midnight, the sacrifice has to be offered to Kali. So they were looking, while they are looking for that person who ran away, they came across Jarabhara. And they thought, well, so they caught him. Okay, we found somebody. So let's offer him to Kali. So they took him. Jarabhara didn't make any protest. He just took him. His attitude was, Marobi Rakhobi Joicha Tohara. Whether you want to kill me, Krishna, or whether you want to keep me, it's up to you. So then Jarabhara was taken to Kali in the middle of day. Usually they used to worship Kali in the mid of the forest, away from everything. The Kali temples mean Kali worship used to take place in the middle of the forest. And so they took him there, and as they were to offer him to Kali, Goddess Kali could not tolerate that anymore. She pierced through that murti. Her murti broke and she came out. And she picked up the chopper from the hands of the dacoits. And she started to slaughter everyone. That description was there in the previous verse. What did Kali do? When blood, hot blood was coming out from their body, she started to drink that blood as if she was drinking wine. And her associates, the witches and demonesses, they also started to drink that blood. And becoming intoxicated by drinking blood, they started to sing and dance. Their song and their dance. And then they started to play with the heads of those decapitated heads of those dacoits. Now in this verse, Sukadeva Goswami is telling that previous verse actually mentioned in this way, as one acts, one gets his reaction. When an envious person commits an offense before a great personality, he is always punished in the way mentioned above. If somebody commits offense to a devotee of the Lord, then he is punished in this way by Mother Kali or Mother Nature. And then Sukadeva Goswami is concluding this chapter first by describing the qualities of a devotee and how the Lord protects his devotee. What are the qualities of a devotee? He is saying that the first thing, he knows that the soul is separate from the body. He knows the difference between the body and the soul. And he knows that he is a spirit soul. Whereas in the material nature, everyone, what does everyone think? People in the material consciousness think that they are spirit souls? They think that they are their bodies. Their consciousness is in the body. They are in body consciousness. And this body consciousness makes them proud, arrogant, and envious. And because they are out of their body consciousness, they are free from all material attachments that are like knots in the hearts. All material attachments are like knots in the heart. Knots in the heart in the sense, if we lose it, it seems that my heart is gone. I lost his heart. The people are attached to their loved ones. When the loved one dies, what happens? When their loved ones die, they cry so piteously. That cry is like as if their heart is coming out of their body. Their feeling is, how can I live now? He is gone. So this is what material attachment does. When the parents are attached to their children, or husband is attached to his wife, or wife is attached to the husband, this is wherever these attachments are like knots. Hridaya granthi. Hridaya means heart and granthi means knot. Viddate hridaya granthi chiddante sarva samsaya. Hridaya granthi. So that is material existence. Those who are attached to their money, what happens? When they are attached to their money, they don't want to see that the money is going out. Sometimes it happens, even though someone is dealing with others' money, because of the attachment he doesn't want to give the money. You often notice it happens. Especially in accounts department, they don't want to make payments. Why? Clear indication. Or a child attached to his toys. Have you seen? Something happens to the toy. How the child reacts? Now, a devotee is free from all these knots of the heart. Because he is not in his body consciousness. All these attachments are due to the body. So, and the devotees are always engaged in the welfare activities for all other living entities, and who never contemplate harming anyone. He never thinks of harming anybody. He always wants to benefit everyone. So these are some of the basic qualifications of a devotee. Basic qualification. So these are the qualifications of a devotee. He is not in his body consciousness, because he knows that he is a spirit soul, he is not his body. He is in his, he is free from all attachments of the heart, and he does not harm anybody, but he is always engaged in benefiting others. Sarva bhuto hite rata. And that's one of the qualifications of a devotee. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling, sarva bhuto hite rata. Sarva bhuto means all living entities. Hita means benefit, and rata means engaged. A devotee is always engaged in benefiting others and not harming anyone. And as a result of that, he doesn't see anyone as enemy. He is friendly to everyone. Because he is not in body consciousness, he doesn't want to protect his body. He doesn't want to take care. Like if there is a possibility, here we are seeing Jarabharat is becoming about to be slaughtered, about to be killed. Did Jarabharat protest? Did Prahlad Maharaj protest when Hiranyakashipu was trying to kill him? No. That's the attitude of a devotee, pure devotee. And from this we learn a lesson, how we should react. If somebody comes to kill, what should we do? If you are real devotees, simply depend upon Krishna. Srila Prabhupada demonstrated that very wonderfully when Calcutta was about to be bombed in 1944 during the peak of Second World War. Japan was going to bomb Calcutta because Calcutta was the base of British military power in India. The Fort William and Calcutta was the base. So they wanted to bomb Calcutta just to cripple the British army. So naturally everyone was leaving the city. Even Prabhupada's godbrother, one of his Prabhupada's godbrothers, was there staying with him. And even he was going to Navadvipa. So he asked Prabhupada, aren't you going? Prabhupada said, no. Oh, you won't go? What will you do then? I'll go out in Harinam. And Prabhupada said, if I chant the holy name of the Lord, then either the Lord will protect me, or even if I die chanting the holy name, I'll achieve the ultimate goal. So either way, there is no loss. Now the question is, Japan was all set to bomb Calcutta. Now why they stopped all of a sudden? Why did they stop? Why didn't they bomb Calcutta? At least we know it is because of Prabhupada's going out in Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan, in the city was saved. So this is the attitude of a devotee, and this is how the Lord reciprocates a devotee's dedication and surrender to Him. Because Prabhupada was depending upon Krishna fully, Krishna protected. So from that, what do we learn? If there is danger, what should we do? If the terrorists come with the guns and everything, what we'll do? Take mridanga and karthal? And who knows? Maybe even the terrorists will join us in the sankirtan. We should not try to defend ourselves. Actually, I used to laugh when I saw some devotees were making arrangements. There was a consideration that Y2K, you remember? Y2K, the year 2000, and everyone thought that there will be a disaster all over the world, whereas the year 2000 began. And in some of our devotees even, they were storing grains, and some even bought some farms away from everything, and they thought that they will move out there. And I told them that don't store grains like this. If it happens, because then you will be the first target. Because people don't have food to eat, but they'll have the weapons. And if they find out that you have food, what will they do? They'll come to you first. So, the best thing is to just depend upon Krishna. Just depend upon Krishna. And can Krishna protect? That is a big test. That will be your test. How much faith you have in Him. And that's why you have to read the scriptures. And when you read the scriptures, what you get to know? How Krishna always protects His devotees. So if Krishna always protects His devotees, if Krishna always protects those who take shelter of Him, then the best recourse is to take shelter of Him at the time of difficulty. What to speak about our scriptures? Even the Hebrew scripture, Moses is taking the Jews from Egypt to Israel. What's the distance from Egypt to Israel? Well over 1,000 miles. And on the middle of the way, there is a big stretch of desert. So how did they get the food? Through the desert. It was not one or two persons. And they were not carrying food with them. They are just running. The Pharaoh's army was behind them. So where did they get the food? You know what their scripture says? God provided manna for everyone to eat. And not only that, some of them were tired just eating manna and manna and manna every day after day. So they wanted to have some meat. And that morning they found hosts of birds. And some of them caught the birds and ate the birds' flesh. And you know what happened after that? There was a big epidemic of plague. And those who ate meat, they all died. Therefore, the best thing to do is just depend upon the Lord. He will take care. So if He can supply food in the middle of the desert to the Jews, who are naturally surrendered to Him, that's why He did that. So if we surrender unto Him, won't He take care of us? Yes, He will. That faith we have to have. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari. So one question already came from Giriraj Das, Gurgaon. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for the wonderful class. Guru Maharaj, how do we develop the consciousness to see everyone as part of Krishna, rather seeing only our relatives and friends as part of us? I have received the knowledge, but struggling to apply it practically in daily life. Your friends and relatives are related to your body. Those who are related to your body, that means you got your body from your parents. Those who got their bodies through your parents, they are your brothers and sisters. Then you got married, she became related to your body, therefore you developed attachment to her. In this way, all these material relationships are centered around the body. But if you want to develop your spiritual relationship, then you have to develop those relationships with Krishna in the center. Those who are related to Krishna, and if you are also related to Krishna, then they become your relatives. That is how you develop your appreciation and attachment to the devotees. Alaka Radha Devi Dasi from Mumbai. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranams. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Guru Maharaj, if one remembers their children at the time of death, what would be the value of Shravanam Kirtanam done through one's lifetime? Okay. Well, there are two ways we can look at it. One way to look at it is because we have done Shravanam and Kirtanam, then Krishna will reward you. If, as you said, what would be the value of Shravanam and Kirtanam done through one's lifetime? So if you have done the Shravanam and Kirtanam through your lifetime, then Krishna will not forget that and Krishna will reward you. But on the other hand, while you are doing your Shravanam and Kirtanam and you are still maintaining your attachment to your children, then yes, you run the risk of remembering them at the time of death. If you are doing Shravanam and Kirtanam and you are thinking that object of your Shravanam and Kirtanam are your children, then be careful. Rather, you consider that your children are Krishna's property. Your children are not your children. That is the difference between spiritual consciousness and material consciousness. Your children's body may be through you, but are their souls from you? Where did their souls come from? So who is their real proprietor? Their real proprietor is Krishna. Therefore, look at your children as Krishna's property, not your property, not your children. And this way, you also try to make them devotees of Krishna by offering them to Krishna. Hare Krishna, any other question? Give them. Good point, very good point. But here we have to remember that in this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, did not take up any weapon. Although in other ages he uses his weapons to kill the demons, in this age he did not. And why he did not? Because once you take the weapon, then there won't be any end to it. Somebody slaps you, you punch him. Then he comes out with a dagger, you come out with a sword. Then he comes with a revolver, you come out with a rifle. He comes with a machine gun, and he comes with a cannon. So it just keep on increasing. Therefore, in this age, Mahaprabhu didn't take any weapon. Because there will be no end to it. And this age is so treacherous age that, like, there's such... first of all, the battles or fights are unfair. In other ages, they used to follow, even in warfare, they used to follow certain laws, certain rules. But in this age, there is no rule. Like this age, such treachery. And besides that, anyway, you can see like how dangerous the situation is in this age. Therefore, Mahaprabhu showed the way, like Nityananda Prabhu actually showed the way through their pastimes. When Jagai and Madhai hit Nityananda Prabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ready to kill him, kill them. But Nityananda Prabhu reminded him that, please Lord, in this age you decided not to take any weapon. In this age you are going to conquer the demoniac propensities of living entities through your love. So that is the weapon for this age. Praying. So with love, the enemies, we'll face the enemies with love, okay. As Prabhupada is saying in the purport, a devotee doesn't treat an enemy also as an enemy. So you want to hit me, fine. You want to kill me, fine. Go ahead. So that will be the... And Nityananda Prabhu demonstrated that. There is a Bengali saying about Nityananda Prabhu's attitude. Merechish kolshir kana, tai bole ki prem devo na. You hit me with the broken pot of wine. But does it mean that I won't give you my love to you? Even though you hit me, still I will give my love to you. So that is the attitude of a devotee in this age. Alright, okay. Okay, maybe there's time for another question or two. Yes, give him the mic. Oh, 5 past. So we have about 10 minutes still. Let's see how many questions are there. Whether there is. The question is, yesterday you told us that Gayatri is mantra and Hare Krishna is Maha Mantra. So he is the supreme mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So the question is whether taking second initiation mandatory, is it compulsory or is it absolutely necessary to take second initiation? So this point came up yesterday. Why I mentioned? Because to demonstrate that Jarabharat did not take initiation in that way. So was he a pure devotee? But of course Jarabharat's case is different. So one must have a spiritual master. But not, that is happening through Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You are saying the first initiation that you are taking is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So once you have that, then when you got the highest, right, when you have $1,000,000 in your pocket, do you care for $1,000? No. Because it already includes it. But still, why Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced this Gayatri Mantra initiation, second initiation? Because the deity worship takes place according to Vaidhi Bhakti, Shastra Vidhi. And the scriptural injunction is that to worship the deities one has to be a Brahmana. Therefore, for those who are involved in deity worship, they should take second initiation. Second initiation, I notice in ISKCON, has become a status symbol. Oh, unless I get second initiation, people don't really respect me. Oh, you're only first initiated. But it shouldn't be like that. Anyway, tomorrow there is initiation. I'm seriously considering how many devotees actually need second initiation. Only those who are involved in deity worship should get second initiation. There is no need otherwise to get second initiation. Okay, so the answer is, it's not mandatory. Once you got the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you got everything. You got the highest. Okay, any other question? Give him the question. Okay, the mic is here, so...
I just have one more ask.
না, ভরত মহারাজ জাতি স্মরণ ছিলেন, ওনার পূর্বজন্মের সমস্ত কথা মনে ছিল, যদিও হরিণ শরীরে ছিলেন কিন্তু উনি ওনার পূর্বজন্মের সমস্ত কথা মনে ছিল। সারা জীবন যদি মনে থাকে তাহলে মৃত্যুর সময় তিনি নিশ্চয়ই ভগবানের কথা চিন্তা করেই দেহত্যাগ করেছিলেন, বুঝে গেল। সেই জন্য পরবর্তী জীবনে তিনি জড়ভারত রূপে জন্মগ্রহণ করেছিলেন। The question actually was, Bharat Maharaj left his body thinking about the deer. Now how as a deer he could remember Krishna? So the answer is that although he was in a deer body, but he was a jati smart, that is, he could remember his previous life. And we can see, like throughout his life, he was as a deer body, as a deer, he remembered Krishna conscious, Krishna, he was Krishna conscious. Therefore, naturally at the time of death, he left his body that way. Okay, give the mic to, yeah.
But you know, life is my life, like, he has some faith. in Krishna to some degree, but there is no implicit faith, like some disease comes or some danger comes. So try and protect ourselves from by applying our intelligence and taking medicines, all this. And we hear from any devotees like taking care of health is not, it does not mean they go surrender to Krishna. So how do you understand this and how we can increase our faith in Krishna?
Yeah. So it will depend upon the degree of one's surrender advancement. A very advanced devotee will not actually try to take other means of shelter or protection. For example, Prabhupada didn't want to take any treatment. Like as you brought up that question. Devotees become sick and they run to the doctor. Fine. If that is the degree of his faith, let him do that. But let him have a healthy body to cultivate his Krishna consciousness and become pure devotee. That is the goal. Like, something, you know, spiritual life also, sometimes you are like a child. Child behaves in a certain way, grown up behaves in another way. Right? So, if we are children, in our spiritual life, let's behave like children. But we must grow up. Alright? And when one grows up, yeah, that will be the attitude. I don't want to depend upon anyone but Krishna. And that was what Prabhupada's attitude was. Prabhupada told me, if I become sick, if I become unconscious, don't let them take me to the hospital. And I was ready. If anybody wanted to take Prabhupada to the hospital, I had my danda in my hand. So Prabhupada didn't want. Prabhupada said that his body shouldn't be pierced by anything. No needle should pierce his body. So that is the attitude of a pure devotee. Okay. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I'm so happy to see so many of you have come to Ujjain. I hope you all are properly situated. And I wish all of you will have a wonderful time. All glories to Lord Nrisingadev and Prahlad Maharaj. Jai Shri Shri Prahlad Nrisingadev ki. Gaur Premanande Hari.